I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today comes from Jonah 3, 1 through 5 and 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city, and it took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw that they did what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened.
Thank you, Angela. Appreciate that reading. I would think most of us are very familiar with the story of Jonah. A lot of good things, a lot of strange things. We know that most, if not all of us, have been like Jonah. We know Scripture tells us that God appointed a great fish to swallow him, and of course many believe that fish was a whale. But, truth be known, we do not know exactly what it was that swallowed him any more than we know what the forbidden fruit was. But we do know he lived through it, and God had the fish vomit him onto dry land. What a way to start a career. What if that's how you started your career? You know, you get swallowed and you go into the belly of a fish, and next thing you know, the fish just vomits you out on the ground. Hey, you might think that that's a telling story. It might tell where you're going to be going on this little trip. But the fact is, Jonah did succeed. He finally went around to God. We think it's ridiculous when we read the story, but how many of us have tried to run from God? Even today. Jonah, in the beginning, if we had started at the very first chapter, God called him, he ran to get away from God. God is here. God is there. God is everywhere. Where are you going to run? But Jonah tried it, and he had to go through some tough times because he ran from God. But in this scripture this morning, we read that God now calls to Jonah a second time, and this time Jonah does not run away but obeys. Now I'm curious, the second time around, would you follow? Jonah learned his lesson, but there are people in this life that oftentimes are called and they continue to run from the call of God, and that makes it even harder on everyone else. Because if you're not doing the job that God wants you to do, who's missing out on the ministry you're supposed to be performing? Well, this guy tells a story a few years ago. He says his family climbed aboard a rubber raft for a ride down the rapids of the Rio Grande River. He said they had never been on such an adventure, but all of them were experienced swimmers, and the river seemed to be fairly shallow. It seemed to be a harmless proposition. He says, our guide was a young woman from California, suntanned and lean, and a good communicator. She told us how to maneuver the raft and spent several minutes teaching us to work together as a unit, paddling and rowing and listening to her voice. In time, she pushed away from the quiet area where we had practiced, and we raced over the first series of rapids. It was an exhilarating experience, and we enjoyed the ride, unfortunately. We apparently forgot all the instructions and followed none of our guide's commands. When we came to the next quiet area, our guide pulled us over to the riverbank and looked us squarely in the eye and said, look, you have got to listen to my voice and follow instructions. People die out here. People get hurt out here. Your life is at risk and so is mine. We can't go on if you don't listen to my voice and follow my instructions. To say the least, she had our attention. We all gave it another shot and performed much better on the next set of rapids. By the end of the experience, we understood why our guide had been so impassioned. The rapids increased in fury, and had we not been accustomed to listening for instructions and following instructions, we would have been in big trouble. Now, there are a lot of rapids in life, but the biggest test is yet to come. At the end of life, when we meet the God who created us, what kind of answer shall we give to the way we listened to God's voice and whether or not we followed instructions? In Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, it says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation?" God calls us to heed God's voice. And if we're running from God, as Jonah did the first time around, where does that put us? In the rapids, in danger. I believe Jonah was a very fortunate individual. He heard God's voice loud and clear. Many of us either never hear God's voice or hear it and do not pay attention because we do not believe God would ever speak to us. Nevertheless, Jonah had clear communication with the Lord. He understood exactly what God wanted him to do, and at first he ran because he did not want the responsibility. In fact, he feared the responsibility. I believe there are many of us who fear the responsibilities God calls us to take on. Whether it be as His servant, being a parent, being a good steward of what God has given us, whatever it is, I believe we, like Jonah, have the initial reaction to run. Therefore, we have children without a mother or father because a parent or parents have chosen to run from the responsibility. Families who live in poverty because a parent or parents do not want the responsibility of working and supporting a family. Individuals who are on drugs because they cannot face the responsibilities before them. Truth is, we all have responsibilities, but not all of us take them on. Have you ever had to paint some roof trim? Especially if it's high up, let's say a two-story house. I don't know about you, I've had that experience, and you get halfway up a 36-foot extension ladder, and you start wondering about the ladder, its footing, and your body weight. You stop and you hug the ladder, looking neither up nor down. Your left leg begins a ridiculous, uncontrollable shuddering. You've been up there and you're shaking. At length, you conquer that particular rung and inch your way to the next, and then the next. Finally, you're at the top, clinging for your life. How can you take one hand off the ladder to use a paintbrush? So now you're at the very top, and you can feel the sway. You ever done that, Randy? It's scary. But after this, and you get to the top, and you're clinging for life, you know you have to take one hand off, so you do, and you have a paintbrush in one hand, holding to the ladder in the next. But then you begin to use the paintbrush, tight as a fiddle, but you begin. The sky is clear, the sun is nice, the thirsty wood soaks up the paint. You whistle and think positive thoughts and do a good job because now you've forgotten about the height. You're busy. You're just going through getting it done. You forget that you're so high up on the ladder. So God calls us, and sometimes that responsibility God calls us for is so scary, but once we start doing the work of God, we begin to relax. We begin to get it done. You've learned an important lesson of life from this. No matter what higher responsibility you take on, it's scary, very scary, until you start working on it. If nothing else, we may conclude from the story of Jonah that God is relentless in His pursuit of us. We can run, but we can't hide. God knows it. God's going to keep going after us until we do what God wants us to do. If God has a task for you to complete, He will keep after you. And, as with Jonah, there may be times you will go through many hardships before you respond, but you will respond. Not necessarily as we would like or would want if we had our druthers, but we do respond, and we try to do everything that God has set us to do. After all, before God uses us, He must mold us and make us. I'll tell you a story. I hope that this is not one you've heard before, but it has an impact, I think. Once upon a time, a kingdom in the heart of the Western Kingdom lay a beautiful garden. There, in the cool of the day, the master of the garden was wont to walk. Of all the denizens of the garden, the most beautiful and most beloved and gracious was the noble bamboo. Year after year, bamboo grew, yet more noble and gracious, conscious of his master's love and watchful delight, but modest and gentle withal. And often, when the wind came to revel in the garden, bamboo would cast aside his grave stateliness to dance and play right merrily, tossing and swaying and leaping and bowing in joyous abandon, leading the great dance of the garden, which most delighted the master's heart. Now, once upon a time, the master himself drew near to contemplate his bamboo with eyes of curious expectancy. And bamboo, in a passion of adoration, bowed his great head to the ground in loving greeting. The master spoke, "Bamboo, I would use you." Bamboo flung his head to the sky in utter delight. The day of days had come, the day for which he had been made, the day to which he had been growing hour by hour, the day in which he would find his completion and his destiny. His voice came low, "Master, I'm ready. Use me as thou wilt." "Bamboo," the master's voice was grave, "I would have to take you and cut you down." A trembling of great horror shook Bamboo. "Cut me down? Me, who thou, master, has made the most beautiful in all thy garden? Cut me down? Not that. Use me for the joy. Use me for the glory. Oh, master, but cut me not down." "Beloved Bamboo," the master's voice grew graver still, "if I cut you not down, I cannot use you." The garden grew still. Wind held its breath. Bamboo slowly bent his proud and glorious head. There was a whisper, "Master, if thou cannot use me other than to cut me down, then do thy will and cut." "Bamboo, beloved Bamboo, I would cut your leaves and branches from you also." "Master, spare me. Cut me down and lay my beauty in the dust, but would thou also have to take from me my leaves and branches too?" "Bamboo, if I cut them not away, I cannot use you." The sun hid its face. A listening butterfly glided fearfully away, and Bamboo shivered in terrible expectancy, whispering low, "Master, cut away." "Bamboo, Bamboo, I would yet split you in two and cut out your heart, for if I cut not so, I cannot use you." The sun again hid his face. Then Bamboo bowed to the ground, "Master, master, then cut and split." So did the master of the garden, took Bamboo and cut him down and hacked off his branches and stripped off his leaves and split him in two and cut out his heart. And lifting him gently, carried him to where there was a spring of fresh sparkling water in the midst of his dry fields. Then putting one end of the broken bamboo in the spring and the other end in the water channel in his field, the master laid down gently his beloved bamboo. And the spring sang welcome, and the clear sparkling waters raced joyously down the channel of bamboo's torn body into the waiting fields. Then the rice was planted, and the days went by, and the shoots grew, and the harvest came. In that day, Bamboo, once so glorious in his stately beauty, was yet more glorious in his brokenness and humility. For in his beauty, he was life abundant, but in his brokenness, He became a channel of abundant life to his master's world. It's our choice. We always have choices. Will we be used by God for a greater purpose? Will we remain just proud of ourselves? Sometimes we must be broken. Things in life will break us. It'll tear us apart. But ultimately, we will serve God's purpose. Ultimately, things will be good. Can we be content glorifying ourselves rather than God? Our Lord will be persistent in His desire for us to attain a greater purpose, as He was with Jonah, as He was with Moses, as He was with Abraham, and even with the disciples that followed His Son. Persistence. They didn't want to. We know that the disciples did not want to do what Christ called them to do, but they did, ultimately. And they died for it, and were the better for it, because they became the bamboo. We got the water of life from our Lord Jesus Christ because they were willing to lay down their lives, along with Paul and many others throughout our history. Again, it's our choice, but shouldn't we be as relentless as our Lord in doing the work of Thy kingdom? Let us pray. Gracious God, sometimes we don't understand why we have such difficult times and why things happen in ways that we truly wished they had not happened. But we know You have a greater purpose, and we know that You can use us and mold us and make us into what You need us to be, that others who follow us may benefit and grow in Your word and in Your light. Be with us, strengthen us, and guide us, for we ask this in Your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.